Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to a late night edition of Culture Shock Entertainment Reports. I'm Beth, a.k.a. Be True. Thank you for tuning in to Culture Shock Entertainment Reports, Talent Tuesday. Last Tuesday, Cousin Linda and I, we began talking about talent. All of us have talent. God gives it talent. Talents, those that we learn formally, those that we self-educate ourselves on. So what talents do you have, and what are some of your, not just your talents, but hidden talents? I asked a question this morning on my Facebook page, and portrait painting, cooking, different things. So it's amazing the answers that you get when you ask questions, open-end questions, not just a yes or no. And if you've been playing like me, keeping like your God-gifted talents on the back burner, time to take it off the back burner, take them off the back burner. My late mom used to get on me all the time. You know, the number one fan of the show, it would get on me all the time about, sharing my God-gifted talents with the world. And the old saying, you do what you love, the money will follow too, right? But when you're passionate and compassionate about something, it's so important. Cousin Linda's supposed to join us. She probably will join us later in the broadcast. And tomorrow we will air in the afternoon. In the afternoon, like 2 o'clock. But I'm looking at definitions of talent, natural aptitude or skill. I mean, my favorite, watching the NBA playoffs, NBA players, WNBA players, a lot of our athletes, they hone their talent. Some of us, like Cousin Linda and I talked about friends and people that we know that sew really well. I'm a very good writer. I can draw really good, sketch designs, very good at makeup and skincare. I'm a good cook too, believe it or not. Some of you might not believe that, but yeah, don't grow up around my family and not know how to cook. natural aptitude or skill. The synonyms are flair, aptitude, facility, gift, neck, technique, touch, bent, ability, expertise, capacity, power, faculty, strength, strong point, forte. What's your forte? That's not my forte. That's my forte. A genius, brilliant, dexterity, adroitness, skill, cleverness, virtuosity, artistry. And then also... talent is another definition, a form of weight and unit of currency used especially by the ancient Romans and Greeks, a mighty seed bought from a Thessalian merchant for 13 talents. So that's the second that's the second definition of talent. So what, again, another definition is talent. It's the same definition, but it's reworded. Talent is an exceptional natural ability, especially in particular activities. such as music. Talent is often thought of as the kind of ability that comes without training, something that you're born with. It is often contrasted with skill, which is an ability acquired or developed through practice, you know. What is talent? According to the Bible, people who work in creative professions are often called the talent. In biblical times, a talent was a unit of money, and a New Testament parable tells of master punishing a servant for hiding rather than investing a bag of talents in the master's house. So that's we're talking about talent as in. So there's a question: is talent born or made? And I mentioned that early during the introductory of the show that God gifted just natural talent. And then there's the formally taught talent and those that we self-educate ourselves on. So some people don't even realize their talent. Like Cousin Linda and I had discussed when we premiered the Talent Tuesday. You know, some people just don't realize that they're good at building. I mean, there are people that I know that are good at building dog houses or just renovating and just have an eye to do things. And they don't even realize how till someone says something or compliment them. Like, you're really talented in that. Have you thought about turning it into a business or, you know, or teaching others? You know, sometimes people are caught off guard when they're acknowledged for their talents, whether they God-gifted talent, what they're passionate, compassionate for, or what they, you know, learn. It's something that they really want to, you know, learn. So that is, talent is not taught. The answer to the question, talent's not taught. It's a natural ability to see or to do something in a certain way. But skill is something that we have become good at and love doing but have been taught. So we have a natural talent, but then we hone our skills months and years to master. It's something that you get better at over time, and that you desire to do and master. Can talent be taught or in it? Can talent be taught or in it? So today I want to talk to you about talent. Taught or is it in it? This is from, let me look at my reference. You all hear moaning, that is Bentley, one of the pooches. I guess he's dreaming or something because he's making a crazy sound. So from the author from this research that I'm looking at says that talent is a way of working that comes really naturally and hasn't been taught. It's something that you can just do and often refer to these as superpowers. And it will let you into a little secret. For decades, the author said that they truly believed that they didn't have any talent, that they were crippled with anxiety for years and years and really thought that they weren't good enough. And a lot of us have that self-doubt. We know we have a natural talent, but we just think, oh, I'm not good enough at this. I'm not a good enough singer, not a good enough speaker. I'm not a good enough whatever. And then sometimes that comes from others too, but it's amazing when we have others that are blessed to see the talents in us and encourage us. So that's me talking. So the writer mentions that they become self-aware of their natural traits and traits in others also. So that's how we are. Let me look and see if Cousin Linda or one of you have called in to share your talent, please don't hesitate to call in. I think Kalinda is on the call. And then the screen is popping off. Really, if you all hear like a sound like a man, that is not a man. That is Bentley. Bentley sleeping. I don't know what he is dreaming about. Salt Bay and Nico are outside, the outside. But, oh my God. Bentley! Stop, wake up. Okay, Cousin Linda's on the call, but my screen had disappeared. Oh. Hello, Cousin Linda.
Hello, Cousin Bethany and audience. Good evening, good morning.
I'm right, fine. It's morning. Morning in on the other side of the world.
Real early in the morning on the other side of the world. Unless they may be in Asia or somewhere, but it's real early in Europe.
Right. So, yes, and we have our listeners in Turkey, Finland, Australia, Canada, Romania, Brazil, Australia, and we do have our Asia listeners, but yes, it's early in the morning. And you know what I have found out, and you probably know this, Istanbul or Turkey is half and half. It's part in Europe and part in Asia.
Yes, I know that.
I think I knew that, but then I was like, wow, that is right. But Istanbul is on the Europe side, right? I think part of Istanbul is in Asia.
I can't remember the exact parameters, but I don't know. I found that out many, many, many years ago because I enjoyed studying geography, the social sciences.
Right.
And geography is one of them, and that was one of the little facts that I read about.
I love learning about the geography and the seas, the different oceans.
Yeah, I was just looking up something the other day on the seven seas, and I couldn't think of all the seas. And when I looked it up, they refer to some of the oceans as seas, too. And then I looked a little further, and there are actually, I think, about six seas, like the Red Sea and the Dead Sea, and then South China Sea. But, yeah, it was, I think I saw six of them that were actually seas. But, you know, you have pirates that used to talk about sailing the seven seas.
Yes. So talking about talent Tuesday, so I was just sharing the meaning of talent, that it's a natural ability, and how you and I had discussed how some people that we even know don't even realize how much talent they have. I asked the question this morning to some of my Facebook friends, and I received answers like portrait painting and, you know, cooking, sewing, different answers of talents and hidden talents, too, because everybody don't share their hidden talents.
Yeah, well, I'm unfortunate. I have no talent.
You authored the book. And you are an expertise on history.
Well, I didn't consider that talent. I didn't
that
think that
talent.
Was talent. I just thought that was, oh,
people
okay,
pay
I wanna...
big money for the advice that you have.
Well, I wish they, you know, contact me so I can start collecting.
But that is a talent. because you know your stuff, and you're talented at travel and food.
Well, I used to read a lot, and then there's so much information online, and I can retain some information because, you know, things that I'm interested in, I like to read about them, watch videos about them. But as far as talent, I just always assumed I was talentless. I can't sew. I used to be able to cook, but my food doesn't taste good anymore, so I don't like cooking.
Any other topic? We're talking about talent, but we can, you know, mix it up. Any other hot topics are on your mind? The depth ceiling is a hot topic that's on my mind.
What is?
The depth ceiling.
Oh, yeah, that's scary. You know, they do this ever so often. They
right.
come up with these last-minute solutions.
I thought about that. Like, this happens like every other year and a half.
It seems as though they want to give people some kind of frightening scenarios to experience. And I don't know why our government would want to do that to the citizens. You know, it's right now it's in the hands of the Republicans, Kevin McCarthy and his crew. It's like, well, we want to hurt Democrats. However, you've got Republicans out there who are feeling the pain. I've seen several people on the news saying they're concerned about their Social Security payments, their investments.
And our
government
employees. Paid. Now, you know that's crazy.
Yeah, because we paid into Social Security.
Right.
Well, I don't know how many years, because I've worked a gazillion years, and I still work from time
right.
to time.
So why put
so,
people in fear? This happens like every year and a half.
Yeah, and that's very frightening, and why they would want to do that to their constituents. I can understand them perpetrating this fraud on Democrats. You know, we're just scaring the radical left. But it's not just Democrats and people on the left and liberals who would be hurt if they don't go ahead and settle this problem.
Yes. I think when McCarthy met with President Biden, I think they're like trying to get a reduction in like the pipeline and gas line projects and what else the Republican side is requesting.
They're
like,
they're talking about
debt ceiling, but the gas line and the pipeline projects need to be reduced and something else.
Well, they were talking about people who get Medicaid and food stamps, something about working. They've got to work more hours or something to get those benefits. And I said, well, maybe they're on Medicaid and food stamps or whatever because they're disabled and can't work.
Well, more Republicans are on those. And truth be known, a lot of people don't realize it. More Republicans are on Medicaid and SNAP than anybody else.
Mm-hmm. Places like Kentucky, West Virginia, Appalachia, you know, they
right.
depend on that. It's, and a lot of those
uh-huh.
areas, that's their only income is government assistance.
Right.
And they were the ones who were heavily suffering from the opioid crisis a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
But I guess to satisfy a certain base, a certain group of people, they have to carry this out as long as they can. And I keep wondering, why do you want your constituents to suffer? It's not just
and stress.
Democrats.
And stress out. Stress
mm-hmm.
out, wondering,
and,
oh, Lord, oh, Lord.
And it's easy for me to say, well, you know, you shouldn't be stressed out because there is nothing you can do. As citizens, it's out of our hands. There is nothing we could do. If we could, we would have fixed the problem a long time ago. But I don't know. I just try not to worry about things that I can't control or something that I can't fix, you know, a problem I can't solve. Worrying is not going to do anything except give you stress. And, you know, we know what physical problems come from stress.
Yes.
So I just, you know, when I wake up in the morning, I don't even think about the debt ceiling actually until I see it on the news. And when I see it on the news, I say, I hope they hurry up and do something, resolve that problem.
Right. That's like the number one subject matter with, you know, the group that I belong to, No Labels. That's the main concern we're concerned right now with this June 1st deadline. And you're right, you know,
mm-hmm.
it, Republicans, Democrats, independents, people that don't care about government. I mean, they care about their daily lives being affected. And the government, Cousin Linda, I thought, well, you have always gotten on me about when the government was created. It wasn't for everybody, but I thought the government was supposed to be for the best interest of we the people.
Well, we weren't people at that time, remember?
Yeah.
We were property.
And now, and wow, that's deep. Because look at the government now.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Even
that's
though
deep.
We have.
That's deep.
Yeah, we have representatives in office, but it's nothing that they can do. You know, the government seems like it would work for the people, but most of the time it really doesn't. You still have the ones in power with the money. There was a saying, I don't know where I heard it, but he who owns the gold makes the rules. And that's the way our government operates. We might like to say it's of the people, by the people, for the people. No, it isn't.
Yeah.
It's for the people who own the gold, and they make the rules. And we have to live by those rules, whether we want to or not. Now, I'm not anti-vote. You know, I fully believe in registering to vote. Oh, and I found something out. When
oh, we know that because from the story you shared about what you've been going through to vote, and you one of the people
yeah,
that
well,
helped us. You was on the front line to help us get the right to vote.
Right. Well, I called the Denton County Voter Registration Office the other day, and I found out that I had failed to register. That's why I didn't get a ballot in this last election.
Huh?
And I said, well,
You've
I haven't had.
Since
well, they told me that I have to register now. There's a new law. I said, well, this must be something that recently went into effect. And yes, thanks to Greg Abbott and the Republicans in the state of Texas, the legislature decided that if you vote by mail, you have to register every year. And
oh,
I said,
my
well,
God.
Will I be notified that my registration is about to expire? No, you have to check on that. I said, okay. So every year
Governor Abbott, you know better, Governor Abbott.
And yeah,
oh,
he does.
My goodness. That's crazy.
That's the plan. Mm-hmm. That's the plan, you know. Like I
And you are involved with the political process. Think about the people that don't even know. Don't
That's
even
right.
know.
Mm-mm. I had no idea myself.
Wow. I didn't know. Wow. I should look, you know, I'm like you with Mississippi. I try to be in the know with Texas. I did not know that. and if you're just finding, if you're just finding out, what about people that just think, well, I'm registered to vote, I don't have anything to worry about, just go vote or just vote by mail?
They're going to learn. they're going to learn the hard way like I did. They're going to show up at the polls, and their names will not be on the list. And they'll be told that you can't vote, and somebody's going to be angry and probably create a ruckus and have the police come out. You know, it's going to be a lot of mess.
That is so heartbreaking, too, working as a poll manager. It breaks my heart when I have to tell a person that, hey, this is not your poll, or you need to register.
Yes.
You're not registered to vote. That is so heartbreaking. And you're
That's
right. Some people don't take it. Some people are very sad, and some people get very pissed.
Well,
and this is a big election coming up. We're in presidential election season. We're in governor election season here in Mississippi, but we're in presidential election season, and they need to get that right.
Well, that was one reason I like early voting and voting by mail. You don't have to worry about your precinct, because, you know, I told you they changed my precinct several times. I don't even know where it is. It's either here, there, or somewhere around the corner or up the street. And they came out with a thing, I guess maybe 20 years ago, that if you were registered to vote, you could vote anywhere during early voting. So they had a precinct at the Carrollton Police Department. So I went down there to vote, and they told me that since I lived in that Denton County crap again, I was not eligible to vote. And I said, well, I thought we could vote anywhere since it's early voting. And they said, no, you have to go vote in Denton County. Mm-hmm. So, of course, I had to try to find out, well, where can I vote in Denton County? Because nobody will tell you anything. Now, this was, like I said, this was about 20 years ago, if not longer. And then my precinct was at an elementary school. Well, there are two elementary schools across the street from each other around the corner from me. So I went to, and this was the day of, and I was trying to vote before I went to work. So, of course, I'm standing in line, and finally when I get up there to vote, you're at the wrong precinct. You need to go across the street. To go out there, you know, during early morning with the school zones and the school traffic and all that stuff, and go to another school across the street and wait in line again. They make it as inconvenient as possible. So that was why
Cousin Linda, is this like a modernized poll? What they used to call it, poll tax? Is this like a modernized poll tax? Like trying to make it as hard as possible for people to vote.
I think it's worse than a modern day poll tax, because with the poll tax, at least if you paid the tax, perhaps you could vote. But this is inconvenient. It's like, just how inconvenient can we make it? They want you to get discouraged and get disgusted and just give up. But being a senior citizen, that was what I liked about voting by mail. Because, you know, I have senior citizen friends who say, no, I want to go vote in person. I want to make sure my vote counts. And I didn't say anything to them, but I'm thinking, you don't know that your vote is going to count, even if you go to the polls. So I just think that if I drop it off at the mail at the post office, that my ballot is going to go where it's supposed to go and my vote will be counted. But I love the convenience of having that ballot come to me in the mail, and I could drop it off at a post office, you know, mailbox, or either go inside, which I usually would go inside and hand it to one of the clerks. But now it's like I'm going to have to be checking forever.
Wow, that is unbelievable. Yeah, you figure, well, I'm registered to vote by mail. That's easy breezy right there, and complicated.
Mm-hmm.
And
very
some people will just say, some people, I know some people, and you know them too. They would say, well, just forget it. I'm not even going to go through all that.
Yeah.
And that's
sad. I can understand it. I can understand that frustration, though. because I've experienced it. But I was just dedicated and decided, well, I'm going to vote one way or the other. And then this thing about the photo ID, you know, they came up with that. And I guess that wasn't a big enough deterrent, so they came up with all these other rules and regulations.
Right, because when you told us about the voter ID situation and you got them because you had your information, but then it complicated again with, oh, you got to register. You need to register.
Every year. Wow.
Because I thought when we registered for life, even when we moved, and if we absentee voting or mail by mail, we're registered.
Yeah, all you had to do was just let the polling folks, not the polling people, but the registrar, voter registration office know about your new address. But no, it's more than that now.
They're changing it like getting a driver's license, like renew your driver's license. That is crazy.
And you can renew your license, what, once every 5 or 6, 7, 8 years? You don't have to renew your license every year. You know, that was a good thing.
And online, because I renewed mine online, and DMV sent it to me in a couple of days. Right.
Well.
Wow. I am shocked at that. That's new right there. Governor Abbott, you know better than complicated things
like that. This is Texas.
Wow.
Yeah. This is Texas, so believe it.
But those are two about the political process the most.
Mm-hmm.
They're making it hard for those that care about the political process the most. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. I'm not saying, I know young people, yes, you do care about the political process, but I'm just saying, why make it hard? You know? Yeah, because somebody might say, what you mean by that?
People in office to make sure we don't get anybody elected who is actually for the people, who want to work for the people.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because that's what I thought about, too. People get, many politicians, I think, they get in office and they campaign to get elected so they can make a difference. Then you mentioned about 15 minutes ago, but when they get in office, they can't do anything. But then that's why they work from the grassroots to getting in office, local, state, federal, and D.C., so they can make a difference. And then, like we're dealing with now, and we're dealing with the deadlock stuff here in Jackson, but on a national level in D.C., we're dealing with the debt ceiling. And why do we have all these politicians representing us and their hands are tied? And then some people are talking about why the president talking meeting with Mike McCarthy. Can't make anybody happy. Be glad he's the president. He run the D-A-M-N country. You know, president doesn't supposed to be talking about it. Like, he's the president. He runs the country.
The problem is
that don't vote. Be glad he is meeting to have a bipartisan solution on this.
The main problem with this country is people don't know how the government operates. A lot of people think that the president has all the power. They think he is a king. And unlike King Charles III of England, who really had no power per se, but they don't really, if you just walk up and ask the person.
My feed. I wonder what he's in the news for. Anyway,
if you just walk up and ask somebody on the street, name the three branches of our government, they wouldn't even know what you were talking about, let alone being able to name the three branches of government. And ask them about state government. How do state governments run? They will think that the mayor has absolute power, and they don't realize that from city to city and state to state, the power that the mayor has is different. It's not like we're just a communist country like China. Well, Xi Jinping, Well, he has absolute power. He can do whatever he wants to do. Or Kim Jong-un in North Korea.
Right.
They can do right. whatever they want to do. But our government doesn't operate like that. And people don't know.
Exactly.
I have friends with formal educations who don't really know how our government operates because I can tell when I'm talking to them. And, you know, just having regular conversation. And
Boom.
Some of the things that they say, I have to correct them. Well, don't you know the president can't do that? And I was amazed at how many black people used to criticize President Obama. He hadn't done anything for black
people. Oh, yeah.
Black people.
A Republican had to get on a lot of people, Democrat, but putting salt
mm-hmm.
on him. Like, what? I can't believe this. You're talking about him like that. I've been seeing Obama too many times. Right, I couldn't believe
Years, and what did he do? What did he get accomplished? Well, if nothing else, he got Obamacare passed. Now, that may not
right. Oh, my God. Don't serve my Dr. Quinn, Dr. Timothy Quinn. That's what he always talk about. Where he got Obamacare. Yes, Lord.
and when the Republicans were trying to end Obamacare, who had flooded the halls of Congress fighting left and right about you will not end my Obamacare? It was white people. They thought that only
mm-hmm.
black people.
And I'm a Republican right here, and I'm waiting for my Ambetter health insurance cards to come in the mail any day. So ain't no shame
well,
in my game. Thank you, Obama.
Yeah, they were
right.
thinking that only, you know, the politicians were thinking only black people were the ones benefiting from Obamacare. No, it was white people. They were the
exactly.
ones that were their congressmen and senators' offices and in their wheelchairs and laying on the floor and protesting 24/7. Those were white people. I don't think I saw a
what?
Black person.
Not white ones. I remember that too, and it's still happening today. Right, I remember that. And a lot of people would get in the mm-hmm. media and thank Obama. Republicans. Thank
mm-hmm.
you.
Well, people who had children, you know, they could stay on their parents' insurance until they were 26 years old. That was a
mm-hmm.
huge benefit. A lot of people have grown children who don't work for whatever reason,
mm-hmm.
and they stay
or,
on their parents.
Or they don't get good insurance at their job.
Yeah, that's true. Sometimes it's just prohibitively expensive to purchase insurance
wow.
on your job. Because I've worked for companies, and you know, I just have to worry about covering me. But people who have, you know, a spouse and two or three children, I'm like, I don't know how y'all pay for this insurance. And sometimes
Woo!
The wife needs to work. But she had to work so they could pay insurance. You know, the husband's salary took care
mm-hmm.
of everything else, all the bills, but the wife would work so they could have insurance coverage. Because when
right.
I found out that some people were paying $700 and $800 a month, I'm trying to figure out, well, how much money do you make? Because I'm one of these low-paid, low-wage workers. And I
right.
have pretty much basic insurance, and you over here with a spouse and three and four children. And I had a supervisor one time that told me that he was paying $700 a month for his family. It was him, his wife, and two children, and he was paying $700 a month. And he said, and that's
Woo!
Bad. It is not. I'm thinking two car payments, half of
right.
a rent payment, half of a mortgage payment.
Household expenses? Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Clothing, activities for the family?
Yeah.
Mm.
Immigrants who are trying to come here, I wonder if they know all this, if they would risk their lives country. Now, you know, some of them say it's just really bad in their country. They're escaping poverty.
Because my neighbors from Guatemala and Mexico City, whoo, they love it here. They love it. Yes, yes. I'm like, wow, we need to love it. And in the past 2 years, they accumulate. They work together. And, you know, they work together. They accumulate things and work together.
Right.
And they love America.
Well, they're the fortunate ones then, because if you come here and think that you can work your way out of poverty, no. A lot of the people from foreign do band together and help each other out. And that's a good thing. You know, they're not here very long before they start businesses. But some people, you just can't make it.
You make a good point again, because when you come here, you got to go through the trenches to live the American dream, regardless of who you are. To get to the American dream, I don't care if you come from poverty or royalty, when you come to America, everybody is, you know, you got to start from scratch.
Yeah, most people come from countries that practice socialism and where they have free insurance.
Right.
And they have that 30-day paid vacation, sometimes more than 30 days paid vacation, retirement at 62 with a pension, free medical, free dental, child care assistance.
Oh, that's why the people in Paris are, like, pissed off about raising the age to 64, huh?
Uh-huh. You know, and they have two-hour lunches. And you come here, you're lucky if you have an hour for lunch, which is unpaid. But I think I might have told you about when Laverne and I were in Dubai, we met this lady and her daughter who were originally from Iran. And the lady, the mother was a pharmacist in California. And she had to get back to California in however many days. They were on their way to Iran. They weren't going to be able to stay as long as they wanted to because the mother had to go back to California because she had to work on Christmas Day. And I said, oh, wow. I do you really like that? And she said, no. And I said, did you know that when you came to this country? She said, no, and coming to America is not, you know, everything is cracked up to be. Because we've discussed before that in a lot of foreign countries, a holiday is a holiday. Here is a day for retailers to make money.
It's a day of profit.
Yeah. We want to sell you something. Come buy something and celebrate the holiday. If you're fortunate enough not to be working on that holiday, and a lot of companies don't pay extra for working holidays.
You can get time and a half, because I'm one of those people that would say, yeah, I work the holidays, get that time and a half.
Yeah, well, when I was at the phone company, we got double time and a half for working holidays and time and a half Sundays. That was because that company had a union. But then I remember when we came to Dallas.
I love unions.
When we came to Dallas.
Remember
with,
when Dallas had
Blue Law.
Everything. That's what I was thinking about when the Blue Law passed here. Yeah. What about them?
Well, when I came from Mississippi, the blue laws evidently were not in place because we used to be able to shop, you know, on Sundays and buy alcohol stuff on Sundays. Well, I come to Dallas, you couldn't buy any kind of alcohol on Sunday, no beer, no nothing. And the malls were closed. And I was just shocked. I'm like, you can't go to the mall on Sunday? And then when they finally passed, you know, eliminated the blue laws and the malls were open Sunday, and a lot of people were complaining because they didn't want to work on Sundays. Well, they got time and a half on Sundays, and that was cut out.
Yes,
it's like Sunday is just another day. You got to work Sunday, big deal. You get regular pay.
Wow. Yeah, I remember you all had the dry areas. And then I remember when the Blue Laws was disbanded here in Mississippi. In Jackson, when Northport was, huh?
They still have that crazy wet and dry stuff.
That's what I thought. Wow. Some of Rankin County is wet now. But that's what I thought. I remember it. Like one block would be wet. I didn't know what you all were talking about. It's dry over there. It's wet over there. We go into the wet area.
I used to buy beer and liquor in the wet area. I used to work with a guy who would say that Plano and Richardson were damp. You could buy beer and you could buy wine. Couldn't buy alcohol. So because he was from Maine, I think. And he said, these areas are not wet. They're damp. You can get beer and wine, but you can't get. Now, like, I live not far from Addison, which is wet. But Carrollton, you can only get beer and wine in Carrollton.
Oh, okay.
And
So Carrollton is damp.
Yeah, because when I moved up here, it was dry. And they had people who were trying to sign up, the petition to get beer and wine sold at Walmart and Kroger. And I remember I used to sign every time they approached me. Yes, because I was driving with some beer or some wine or whatever. But, no, you cannot buy liquor in Carrollton.
Wow.
If I'm not mistaken, Farmers Branch. Is damp.
Oh.
I think plant is still damp.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Only restaurants and beer and wine. Huh.
Right.
Rankin County Rankin County was dry and Rankin County is damp now. they had that law passed for restaurants to serve and beer and wine.
Well, now you could get beer and wine in Rankin County before I left. They didn't have liquor stores. The only place you could get liquor was at the airport, and that was in the form of a drink. You could get mixed drinks at they had a bar at the airport in Pearl. I think that's where the airport is.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then the clubs in Jackson, remember the clubs used to be open to 7 o'clock in the morning? And I came over here to Dallas.
Yes.
Well, the clubs closed at midnight, which was a shock to me. I'm like, it's midnight. That's like kids have to go home at midnight.
Right.
And then they finally passed a law where the clubs can stay open to 2 a.m. I'm like, I'm from Mississippi. We can stay out all night long if you wanted to.
I was watching a TikTok friend celebrate her birthday in Houston last Friday, and she was at one of those clubs in Houston. She said it was a hole in the wall, but it looked really nice, and it was daylight. I was like, wow, I haven't done that in a long time. But yeah, Jackson was more hip than some of the larger cities back in the day. You could party then when we go to the larger cities, like in Dallas. And they shut down early.
Yeah. I didn't think that was a club anywhere in Texas that stayed open past 2.
Right. This TikTok friend, she was at a really nice place. She said it's called Sugar Mama's in Houston. And I'm like, wow. When she walked out the club, she's like, it's my birthday. And when she walked out the club, it was daylight. And I asked, what's the name of it? Sugar Mama's. And it looked really nice, and the food looked good. I'm like, wow.
The strip club can stay open, I think, 24 hours. And see, that's then. The strip club. Because they were trying to pass a law to get the strip clubs to close at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and the strip club owners were and know that's when they make their most money. And I hope you know that the strip clubs didn't have to close down, even though people were complaining. People that
wow.
live close were complaining. But, see, money talks. When you've got money, you've got power. So the strip clubs did not have to close down. And I'm like, who's out in a strip club at 3 o'clock in the morning? Little did I know.
Right. Not just your average pervert. Right.
Mm-mm. I saw people were at home in the bed. I didn't know somebody was trying to get a lap dance.
Well, big shout out to LeBaire Dallas, to the male strippers out there in Dallas. Big shout out to you guys.
I think LeBaire.
Hope to see you all birthday time.
I think they closed it at a decent hour.
Yeah, LeBaire Dallas closed at a decent hour. But the for the guys, oh my God, 24/7. Lunchtime, you can pass by a gentleman's club, and they're packed in the afternoon for lunch.
I'm saying that a lot of them have free buffets, lobster, steak, champagne. I need to go to the strip club.
Right, because I know some women do go there, and for business meetings, they'll go there for lunch and stuff, for food.
I'm like, yeah, because what is it, Cabaret Royale, I think. I remember that name. They first opened, and they were showing, because they used to advertise in the Dallas Observer. And their ad
was
showing
all. Oh, you know I love
the
Dallas Observer. I'm so sad in how small it is now.
Well, they had a lot of problems. Now, I don't know what happened, but I remember during COVID, they lost a lot of advertising because businesses had closed. And then you have so much online advertising, too. But I used to love the Dallas Observer. When I first found out about the Dallas Observer, we used to pick them up because they had those funny personal ads. Remember the personals in the back? And, and then they actually had some good articles because this journalist, Jim Schutzer.
I love the articles.
Jim Schutzer used to work for the Dallas Times Herald. And then when they went out of business, he started writing for, he's a good investigative journalist. He started writing for the Dallas Observer. And then I'd look at the ads and what have you, and then you look in the back and you see all these gentlemen's clubs or strip clubs, whatever you want to call them. And like I said, they'd be talking about these elaborate dinners and buffets and cheap drinks, and a lot of times free drinks. But I don't even look at the Observer anymore. And they don't.
I picked up a copy at Union Station when I was there a year ago, and the strip clubs, they definitely, the concert venues and the strip clubs do still advertise.
Mm-hmm.
But I was just shocked. I told Tommy Lee, I was just shocked how thin it was. But you're right, online, and then it was COVID.
Yeah. And they're not as many places as they used to be, because they used to be in all the convenience stores and service stations and grocery stores. And I just don't see them anymore like I used to.
I like to have, I know you do too, I like to put things in my hands. You know, online is good, but some things is just good. Some periodicals are good to hold in your hands.
Yeah, I guess that's because that's the way we were brought up. Because I know young people like to look at movies and television shows on their phones.
Right.
I'm saying I just can't watch movies and TV shows on my phone because I keep getting these emails from Spectrum. That's who I have my internet and everything with and my cable. And it's like, you know, download all these movies for free and stuff. And I'd be darned if I want to sit around and watch a movie on my phone. But that's what young people like to do. They don't have TVs and stuff and computers. That's not, I can watch a movie on my computer, but a lot of them don't even own a computer. Everything is on that phone.
Mm-hmm. And some of them are masters, like these social influencers. I'm like, they're on a phone. You would think they were on something like really big time. And they master it on their phone. Like, wow. Like, you would think they have like a big studio. And it's just their phone.
And they make a lot of money on their phone, too.
Right. That's what some people say. All you need is a phone and ideas and you can make money.
Exactly. You can be anywhere in the world and make money with that phone.
Right. And I share posts like that often, and they talk about work and being self-employed or being an online entrepreneur. And you can travel, be all around the world and make a lot of money just using your phone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially with Cash App and Zelle and all those other things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still cash and I deal with the bank.
Right. So I'm looking at some talented celebrities, Cousin Linda, from an article in a periodical called Best Life, and they're showing their hidden talent. Margot Robbie is a tattoo artist. Who knew? Angelina Jolie is a master knife thrower. She seemed like she would be good at being a master knife thrower.
And
Gina Davis is an archer.
And I was about to say archery. Because she was competing. She was trying to get to the Olympics with her archery.
Yeah, that's what I'm reading. U.S. Olympic semifinals for archery.
Mhm.
Oh.
I used to be in archery when I was a child.
You did? That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That's very interesting.
I remember seeing bows and arrows at Grandmama Maddie's house. I don't know who it belonged to, but I used to try to shoot the arrows, and I never could.
That's an interesting fact about you.
I was interested in a whole bunch of stuff. I was interested in badminton, tennis, track and field. I didn't have anybody to encourage me, really.
I was interested in track and field, too.
Yeah, everything that I was interested in, my mama thought it was a passing fancy, and she didn't encourage me in it. It's like, oh, darling, that's the phase you're going through. You'll grow out of it.
Oh.
No.
Yeah, darling. And do you know I say darling, and I tell Beverly, I'm like, that's from Aunt Helen. I am the person that says darling all the time. Darling.
Yeah. That was her word.
And she would think it would be just a passing fad.
That was her excuse.
Mm.
I think she just didn't want to spend any money. Like, I'll go buy all that stuff and then you won't use it. I'm like, yes, I will.
Like I wanted an instrument, even though I did learn how to play the clarinet in the third grade, not the clarinet, the flute in music class, but I wanted an instrument, and so mom said I couldn't have, but she used to get me things that I wanted, but somebody couldn't get it, like Aunt Helen said. So that's when I went to that concert of Parliament with Beverly and Stanley, I was like, this is amazing. So I started studying, self-educating myself on music business. So I know for my 13th birthday, Tommy Lee got me a guitar. You know?
What?
Yeah, so he had got me a guitar for my birthday a few years later. Because I love Prince so much, too. I guess he said, we're here. I got a surprise for you for your birthday.
Uncle Herman used to have a guitar, and I don't know what happened. It was an acoustic guitar. I don't think they had electric ones back
then.
And
that's what I need for my song. That's what I have on my YouTube channel, acoustic guitar.
He lost interest in it, so he left it at Grandmama Maddie's house, and I picked it up, and I was going to play it. But the string, I didn't know the string was metal.
Did you play it?
No, the strings hurt my fingers. So I decided I didn't want to play guitar because I didn't know the guitar strings were so hard. And
That's why people use those picks.
I was going to say, I'm amazed at people who don't use picks. Because I look at a lot of rock stars and country and western stars, and they play guitars without picks.
Right. I'm thinking Taylor Swift. I don't think Taylor Swift uses them. I got to double check.
And I look at a lot of rock stars who don't have picks. I'm just surprised. I'm like, them things hurt, and you be getting callus and corns on your fingers.
Prince and B.B. King used picks. But, yeah, you're right. But now you're going to have me Googling artists that don't use picks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when they play guitar.
And then when I was coming along, there were certain instruments that women didn't play because they were masculine, like saxophones, drums.
And
but
now some
women,
of the baddest saxophonists are women. I know Prince loved to have some female saxophonists and horn section.
And drummers, I mean, look at Sheila E.
Right. Yes. Mm-hmm. Woo! Yep. And Sheila E., oh, my God.
Yeah, now talk about talented. She's really a good percussionist.
And then you wonder where she get all that energy from. Right. Now, she's so energetic. She can go.
Mm-hmm.
In heels.
Right. Stilettos, not just heels, but stilettos, 6 or 7 inches.
Right. So Mike Tyson is a pigeon racer. I'm not surprised.
He's a
Mark
what?
Mark Ruffalo is a unicyclist. Huh?
Mike Tyson
is a pigeon racer. He races pigeons. I'm not surprised because, you know, he loves pigeons.
I didn't know pigeons race.
I know, so that is, I guess that's why it's a talent, if he can get them to race, because it's down at his talent. So can train pigeons to race, then that is a talent.
I know there are carrier pigeons, but I had no idea they race.
They say a homing pigeon, a specific type of domestic pigeon, are released from cages 100 miles away from their coop and are timed in their return to the coop.
Mm.
Mark Ruffalo is a unicyclist.
Oh,
Jack White is this rocker. He upholds furniture. Pierce Brosnan is a fire eater. And I think he's an artist, too. He was on Jimmy Kimmel or something last week showing off his art.
Huh.
Alan Page, a juggler. Justin Bieber, master of the Rubik's Cube. That Rubik's Cube is something. So that is a talent. Have you ever mastered the Rubik's Cube?
Right. No. I tried.
Cousin Michael and I think I might have mastered it once. Cousin Michael was pretty good at it.
No, I never could get the Rubik's Cube. I soon gave up on that.
Look, you always could get it right, but then just that one or two. Like, wait a second. I know I can figure this out. You get so close to mastering it, and then, like, how can I get this to there?
I tell you what I am good at, and that's playing checkers.
Oh, me too. I love checkers.
Me too.
So when I come celebrate my, when I come for my birthday, we can play checkers.
Mm-hmm.
And I love Monopoly. I would like to think I'm good at Monopoly. So let's
go with it too. Cousin Sharon used to get so mad because we'd buy up her properties, and she'd start crying, take the pieces and throw them across the room. We're like, Sharon, it's just a game.
Like, well, niece Deetra don't play Uno with her because she loved it.
Yeah. I remember.
And I seen on the news a man got killed over a Uno game this week. I'm like, oh, no.
Well, I had never heard of Uno until Deetra was talking about it.
She right, the Deetra first and Diane person. Loved it. They introduced it to me too, us too.
Mm-hmm.
And then Deetra was the, I guess that's why Deetra said she can cheat and change the rules.
Yeah. I know I was playing spades with Jamie and his sister and his sister's husband. And you talking about changing rules. Every time you look around, there was a new rule because he and his sister were playing and then her husband and I were partners. And every time I thought we had won, Jamie and his sister had a new rule. Oh, no, no, that's not it. And,
and then
two and three different trumps in one hand, and you know, one game. I said, I thought you had one trump per game. Well, see, if you do this, you can have two or three trumps. I said, y'all just cheating like a dog.
Changing the rule as the game goes. Oh, my God.
Yeah, with the game going on, child. I said, I thought we had established the rules before we started. No, I thought you knew how to play. I do know how to play, and this is not the way.
Look, you know how to play the game the way it's supposed to be played.
Mm-hmm, the correct way, without cheating.
Neil Patrick Harris is a magician. Oh, I'm not surprised because he's so multi-talented.
Yeah, I was going to say he's multi-talented.
Yeah, he's amazing. Ooh, he's so talented. Conan O'Brien is a tap dancer. Huh, I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. Vanilla Ice, a master jet skier. And he's good at renovating houses, too.
Yeah, I used to see him on TV. I haven't seen him in a couple of years now.
Right.
But he was in my renovating houses.
So that was amazing. That was great that he had that reality show showing that talent.
Mm-hmm.
Christina Hendricks, accordion player. Steve Martin is an accomplished banjo player. Yeah, I believe that.
Well,
that, don't we?
I've seen
we know
him.
He's a banjo player, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I've seen him on TV playing the banjo.
Right. I've seen him playing
Martin
that. Bruce
Short.
Willis.
You what? Martin Short. I think Steve Martin and Martin Short did some concerts playing instruments, the banjo and something else. They were on tour together.
Oh, yeah. Steve Martin is Canadian, too, right?
I didn't know that.
Is he Canadian or American?
I don't know.
Is he Canadian or American? Okay, I have to look that up. So many Canadians. So many of our favorite celebrities are Canadian. I'm like, what?
Yeah, they are.
And Canada's on our list now. They're listening. On our top list.
What?
Let's see, Bruce Willis is a harmonica player.
Yeah, why don't they ever make any comments, Bethany? You're listening.
Yeah, some people call in. Some people usually call in. I guess when we get consistent, people will start back calling in. That was a great when Brother Warren was listening and called in.
Yeah.
Because that's what I miss, but I guess listeners saying when you get consistent, we will call in. Well,
yeah.
They're listening because it shows up. Yep. Turkey, Finland, Australia, Canada, Romania. Canada knocked Nigeria off the top five. Romania, oh. Brazil, and Australia.
Do you ever get any comments? Can they comment, like, online or anything?
Yes, I have a chat, the chat box, and you can create a...
Okay, you have to tell me how to do that.
Okay, I will. Bruce Willis, a harmonica player, we know that, right?
Yeah, because he used to sing the blues.
Right.
And you,
Aaron Paul,
he's
Dog Whisperer.
You know,
what'd
Bruce
you say?
Willis is, I think Bruce Willis is suffering from dementia now. Have you been
yes.
keeping up with
he
that?
He made his last movie here in Jackson. His last film was made here.
Yeah, because Arthur Kane was online doing, you know, his live thing. And he heard some gunshots, and he thought maybe it was somebody, you know, shooting up in Jackson, but then he found out they were filming that. Yeah, because we were online with Arthur Kane. You know, he does his live show, and he heard he's yelling his gunshots because he lives downtown. And that's when some people had to tell him that Bruce Willis was in town filming a movie down there.
And then that is when he found out, and this the movie that was made in Jackson was his last movie, and
has it been released?
I know they had the premiere when it. Oh, that's a good question, because they had the big premiere, you know, that they had when it's complete, but that's what had the big premiere here. With the red carpet and stuff, but, you know, that's usually done early on. But that's a good point. I don't know if it was online or in the theaters. But they did have the big premiere.
I'll see advertisements for movies, and I'll be wanting to go see them. Only showing on Hulu Plus and Paramount Plus, and well, so much for that, because I don't do streaming either. Even though
before
I'm
the beginning of the podcast, I seen the teaser trailer for Color Purple. So then I seen a big, they said something about check out the full trailer, I guess, on a website or something. But then I seen a glimpse of the date, Christmas. So you're right. They're doing the teaser for the Color Purple, which is executive produced by Oprah. They flashed real quick and real small Christmas Day. At the bottom.
Hmm.
6 months.
I wonder why voting is so soon, so early.
So the teaser trailer was good, you know, so yeah. So a lot of big stars in it.
So what
Susan Sarandon is a piece, huh?
What is this, a remake of Color Purple?
Yes, it's a remake of The Color Purple. And I didn't even know about it until a couple of weeks ago when the young lady that's playing The Little Mermaid was asked about being in it. And so I'm like thinking that they were like wrapping up the movie, but I see it is done because they have the teaser trailer out and the full trailer too. So I didn't even know it was in production. I figured you knew.
Haven't seen it.
Fantasia, Tarija P. Henson. Fantasia, Tarija P. Henson. A lot of people.
Taraji P. Henson,
yes. Susan Sarandon is a ping pong player. My mouth getting dry, I need to drink some water. Susan Sarandon is a ping pong player.
Okay.
Jennifer Garner is a clogger. I think I've seen her clog.
Oh, okay.
Taylor Swift makes jam and jelly. Now, she could be in our family. Bob Barker, black belt karate ninja. Huh. Did you know that? I know that. I remember you loved animals.
He's still living.
Look, Cousin Linda, I was... That was my next question for you.
I know
he's 100. I know he's 100.
If not older.
Wow. I love him, yeah.
Chris
Love talked about the time she and her friends went to Los Angeles. Yeah. Did Aunt Helen go with her? And so it was on
no,
Price is Right.
It was just Aunt Chris and Miss Hart.
Oh, okay. I know she loved to talk about that trip and the fun it was being there. Christopher Walken is a lion tamer. Wow, Christopher Walken. He has a wild side.
Yeah.
Emma Roberts, master crybaby.
I guess they can.
Oh, she can mimic sound. She can mimic sounds of crying babies. Oh.
Oh.
Oh, okay. Bob Dylan was an iron sculptor. You probably knew that. That sounds like something you know.
No, I didn't.
Talking about game, your girl Beyonce, Connect Four champion.
What kind of champion?
You, Connect Four? Isn't that a game?
I don't know.
Connect Four?
I never heard of that one.
That's a game, Connect Four.
Okay. You see where she and Jay-Z bought that $200 million house and paid cash for it?
Woo, where?
In Malibu. I didn't know they had property that expensive in Malibu.
$200 million? I didn't either. Wow.
Yeah, I saw it on TMZ because the house they live in Bel Air was $110 million. And the other day, TMZ, they were saying that she and Jay-Z just bought a $200 million house in Malibu and paid cash.
That is amazing to pay cash, $200 million. Wow.
Right.
That realtor, $100, oh, I love $1 million listing. I wonder who was the realtor. Woo! That realtor, oh, my God.
He can retire now off that commission.
Oh, man. He is on the moon right now.
I think
I need to look that up.
Yeah,
$200 million cash.
Yeah, I think Harvey was saying that they kind of paid, not too much money, but there aren't any other properties in that area that cost anywhere near that. I wonder who was the
previous owner, or if it's a new build.
Harvey said who the previous owner was. He was somebody into art. And they were saying that I think one of the reasons that the Carters purchased that house because Jay-Z has a lot of expensive art. And the other thing was they like Malibu, but they live in Bel Air because that's where their children go to school. And it would be too trouble to try to drive to school from Malibu to Bel Air because of the traffic in California.
Wow. That is amazing.
Yeah,
and he is from New York and she is from Texas. And he is from New York and she is from Texas.
Yeah, I don't think that a house is worth $200 million. Now, if we're talking a palace or a castle, but a house?
Right.
Nah.
A palace or castle, yes. Woo! Yes. Yeah, you and I on the same page. I want my palace or my castle. Why? $200 million. So obviously it's set up good for art. So they have an art gallery there. So they probably have I wonder how many garages. Movie theater. Shoot, they probably have a venue for performances, for concerts in that house.
What the house, I don't know how many square feet it is because I've forgotten. Or I don't know if they even mentioned that. But the picture, it I don't know. It just didn't really look that extravagant. Maybe everything is on the inside. But I don't know. I just thought $200 million for a house.
In cash.
Yeah,
not getting that back. Look, not getting that cash money back. Y'all better love that house.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. Will they make a return on their investment? Because who else wants to pay $200 to live in Malibu?
So it's overseeing the beach. So they got them a house like Iron Man, like Stark. Oh, my goodness. Probably set up with all kind of futuristic stuff. Like you were saying,
that.
So plain on the outside, but set up with all types of technology. Got to be what they paid for the art gallery, for the expensive paintings.
Well, I wonder if Jeff Bezos or Elon Musk paid that much for a house.
They are frugal. They spend big money, but they're frugal. You see where Bezos getting married, and they said that prenup definitely getting signed.
Yeah, they showed his yacht, which was not a pretty yacht to me.
I like yachts too, and you know what? That yacht did not make
that
me
was,
like,
that,
wow, that's an awesome yacht. It looked expensive, but it didn't look like a spectacular yacht.
Yeah, like the yachts that you see over on the French Riviera or in Monaco, or Dubai. And that I don't know.
Right.
I was like, yeah, they is that thing that is ugly.
Right. And like the yacht saw base share on his Instagram, and what is it, Mykonos in Greece? Mykonos Island?
Mykonos.
Ooh, wee. Oui. Yeah,
Mykonos.
Yes.
Mykonos.
Those yachts that he showed on his Instagram. Woo! Like, okay. And cruise lines. Cruise ships. That is just amazing.
Yeah, I would have bought a cruise ship.
Right, I seen that yacht. Right, and I'm like, it looks very plain, but it probably have a lot of stuff on the inside. But
yeah,
you're right.
But
you make me want to Google how much his house and Elon Musk's houses are. But you know, they would not invest that much into a house.
Bill Gates and Warren Buffett don't even pay that for their houses.
But, you know, it's their money. They do what they want, but...
That's true.
But, speaking of Beyonce, and you and I talk a lot about the concert travel, and you talk a lot about the international travel. Did you see where the young lady traveled from Dallas to Switzerland or Sweden to see Beyonce, because it was cheaper to fly to Sweden or Switzerland, I think Switzerland, to see Beyonce than here in America, because I think the tickets are like $1,000+ here. And so she was able to get a ticket for $300-something in Switzerland. And she used her frequent flyer point. And she found she got a good deal on a hotel. Everything that she did was under like $700. Her flight, the ticket, her hotel. And was much cheaper than just buying a ticket here in the States when Beyonce comes here. So some people can't understand why tickets for a lot of these performers are so expensive.
Because people are crazy and pay the prices.
Some people have GoFundMe. Like, yeah, I need money to buy a Beyonce ticket.
there isn't anybody on the planet that I want to see bad enough to pay the prices that these people are paying. When I went to concerts, when we were going to concerts, you could actually see the performer. But now these venues are so huge, until you're looking at the performer on a big jumbotron screen. And I just couldn't enjoy that. And then you have to stand up most of the time.
And the tickets were worth it. You could see the performer, and then they had meet and greet, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You could actually
country singers like to do meet and greet. And I think Janet Jackson, I don't know how much her tickets are. I know she'll be in Dallas on June the 2nd. I don't think her ticket's like that. Now, if Janet Jackson's not charging $1,000. Right. But, yeah, people are traveling abroad because it's cheaper for everything, flight, hotel, and concert, than the cost when the tour comes to the States.
Yeah, well. All that's behind
I said that's what you had been talking about, the cost of travel, international travel compared to here in the States. You mentioned that sometimes it's cheaper to go to travel abroad.
It used to be for me. You know, I showed you that thing online the other day where there was round trip airfare to Paris for $453.
Yeah.
Yeah, I tell you, I used to be able to go to Paris for $1,000, and that was round-trip airfare at my hotel, and maybe a few meals, and now $1,000 won't get you nothing.
Right. Wow. Right here in the States, need more than that. Right, go on places. Johnny Cash was a military code breaker. You probably knew that. Wow.
Nope.
When he was in the army during the Korean War, the man in black quickly rose through the ranks to become a military code breaker.
Wow, that's excellent.
Cash was the first American to hear news of the death of Joseph Stalin.
Who was?
Johnny Cash.
Oh, okay.
What were you saying?
Oh, I was just saying I always liked Johnny Cash.
Me too.
When I was a little kid, I used to love his music, and I like him as a person.
Me too. He was one of Mom's favorite, and so I naturally loved him too because we listened to him often. Yep. And Loretta Lynn. But, yeah, Johnny Cash, he sounds like he's just down to earth.
Very much so.
So Harrison Ford is a pilot. We know that. And he's so talented. Yeah. That's your man. You posted him last week.
Yeah.
So he's not slowing down for anybody.
Mm-mm. What I like about him, he seems to be down to earth, too. He's not pretentious.
Right.
I was at him, about 20 years ago, I think. He was on one of the late-night talk shows, and the host was asking him some kind of question about why are you out all of a sudden? You know, you're a very private person, this and that. And he just told the truth. He said, I'm here to promote my movie. And
he and his wife, Calista, handled their relationship. They never did make, like, a big Hollywood deal about their marriage and their relationship.
Oh, no. You don't see them out seeking publicity and showing up at all these Hollywood affairs and stuff. They're like a normal married couple. And his being an actor is, you know, it's a job. And that's what he was saying about why he was on the late night show. You know, he said, I'm here to promote my movie. And these other celebrities.
I'm working.
This is a job. Like when you write a book, you have to go on book tours and stuff. But a lot of celebrities want to be like, well, I'm this party person and I'm so popular and you wanted me on your show because of my popularity or something like that. But most of them are promoting something. And not just on the late night talk shows, on the so-called morning news, I mean entertainment shows, because you get very little news. But it's just
and on podcasts, because I can't wait till we get guests back on. So, and if you have anybody, any of your friends that would like to come on and talk about certain topics or their work, please invite them on.
Okay, I think I did. You know, I share when you post in your information, I share it with folks. But it's kind of hard to get them to do anything. Like I was talking to Laverne about your birthday celebration down at Newsret, and she was all excited about it. She said, yeah, downtown, I can go. And when is it? I said, August 11th. Oh, well, you know school will have started by then, so I didn't say anything. I was thinking to myself, you can't take one day off work? One?
She's a school teacher. She's a school teacher,
like,
a principal?
No, substitute teacher.
Oh.
But she has a long-term assignment, and I don't know if she's going to be at the same school next year or not. But, I mean, it's like, well, school starts in early August, and I was just wondering to myself, can't you take at least one day? So she'll
and I, you know what? I dislike that the school starts before my birthday, because I remember when I didn't go to school when I was a kid. I didn't go to school till after Labor Day. School didn't start till after Labor Day. My kids go to school. It's insane to go to school before my birthday.
Because, see, when I was in school, they didn't have spring break and all these other days that they're off. You know, because we went to school, like you said, the week after Labor Day, and we got out the last day of May, which was usually May 30th.
Now they go back like a month earlier. Like, oh, my goodness, it's so hot here in Mississippi and Texas.
They don't get out. Some of them don't get out to June, because when I had the long-term assignment, the school that I was at, their last day was June the 8th, and then they turned around and
Cousin Linda, after Memorial Day? Wow, that's insane.
Yeah, they didn't get out to June the 8th, and they went back, I think, August the 6th.
Or Memorial Day and after Labor Day when I was in school, and I know when you were in school. Before Labor Day and after, before Memorial Day and after Labor Day.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. June after Memorial Day. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. But like I said, they've had so many days off during the year, and then I think they may have had to make up for some of the ice days or something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
but, you know,
sometimes those parent-teacher conferences knock on.
Yeah, they have that, and all these holidays. You know, they'll get like a week, I think, for Easter, and then they get a week for spring break, and maybe 2 weeks. 2.5 weeks or something. Well, a week for Thanksgiving. We used to just get 2 days for Thanksgiving, but they get a week.
Wow. Well, I hope Laverne can join us. She can leave, work a half a day or don't have to sign that day. And I'm just amazed that they have a new lunchtime special. I'm glad I chose 2 o'clock and not 7 o'clock.
Oh.
Right. So we have room for other things.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So what is the $39? What do you get for that?
Well, it's a 3-course meal. So I tried to find out exactly what's on it. You get the meal and a drink, So $39, I mean, looking at the schedule, looking at the menu, was a burger. A burger is what, $40 anyway, right?
At least. So I'm wondering if it's any kind of steak, maybe chopped steak or something. I don't know. And maybe a baked potato or fries. I don't think I've seen baked potato on this menu. I think all I saw.
I've seen salmon. And I've seen salmon. I love salmon.
I do too. They had salmon croquette because Jamie bought. It was one salmon croquette, but the waiter cut it into four pieces because it was enough for four people to get a piece. $40.
Oh, see? Right. But it was delicious, huh? And your burger was delicious. I think the salmon is like $45 or $55. Well, I looked at the menu a long time ago. But I think I've seen a macaroni that he cooked. It's very creamy looking. I mean, there's more on the menu. Well, you've been there, so you know. You can share with people all what's on the menu. It's not just steak and burgers. I mean, my goodness, the meat sushi. Did you see any meat sushi when you was there?
No, because I'm not a sushi person.
Well, he does like a meat, like a sushi with beef.
I have a friend named Tiffany who loves sushi.
Well, Tiffany and I can, your friend that you went to birthday party and went out to lunch with, I love sushi.
Yeah.
So I see who I can eat sushi with. I love sushi. Oh, my God.
Yeah, Tiffany can have it. I don't do sushi.
But you do $800 an ounce of caviar in Dubai.
Don't think so. And I told you about the waffles.
How much sushi was it again? For what, 800, 600?
It was $800 a gram for caviar. So a gram of caviar, and it was $800. And I got some rare Italian white truffles, and I forgot what they cost. So they give you, like, a couple of little shavings. And so I was like, I can't taste that. That's not enough. So I had him do about five or six of the shavings. That was another reason that my bill was so expensive, because I had truffles put on my so-called lobster risotto. And on the lobster, you get a claw. You don't get a lobster. You get a lobster claw. The entree didn't even come with two claws. You got one lobster and maybe three teaspoons of risotto. It's best not to go hungry. I think it's Nathan Outlaw's Al Moana restaurant. But you get very,
but it was good, but just not enough. Look, it was good, but not big serving. So we will be giving our food review on social media also in August. Cousin Linda is very good at her reviews, and she has given good reviews. So I chose to celebrate my birthday there. And nothing's going to stop me from getting there, because I haven't had a birthday like that in a long time. I love my birthdays every year if I'm by myself, and I haven't seen Cousin Linda in a long time, too. We're going to have too much fun.
We'll have to do a video instead of just still photos. We'll have to do video.
Oh, but that's what I said. We're going to share our reviews on TikTok and on Facebook Live.
TikTok, Instagram.
And what if he shows up? And what if he shows up with a golden tomahawk? Now I'm dreaming.
Well, that definitely won't be at our table unless I win the lotto jackpot.
Right. 3 months. His birthday is a couple of days before mine.
Whose birthday? Oh, yeah, so, Tiffany's. Yeah.
He'll probably celebrate his birthday abroad. But if he shows up, oh, my God. It's going to be fun without him there. But if he shows up, it's going to be like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
I see where a lot of people like to celebrate their birthdays there. In Dallas and at all locations, people love to celebrate their birthdays.
Yeah, I know a couple of people here who celebrate their birthdays for a month. My former
I'm one of those people. I celebrate my birthday a month. I'm like, my birthday is on a Friday, too. I'm like, oh, my God, I need to make that reservation as soon as possible. I know that restaurant is booked on Fridays.
Mm-hmm. Another restaurant that people like here is Perry's. Have you heard talk about Perry's?
Where is that barbecue?
No, it's a steakhouse, and he has a pork chop, a ginormous pork chop.
Wow, is that American? Or Turkish, like?
No, it's just American.
Oh, okay, Texas Steakhouse.
But, yeah, it's not what you call a Texas Steakhouse, Gail, than just like a Texas thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, check
Have
out Perry's on. Yeah, Jamie took me and a friend of his, I guess about 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. I've probably seen pictures. Yeah.
It's the one that we went to was in Plano, and it was real, real dark up in there.
Oh.
And I had the food was good.
Did you get a steak?
No, I got a pork chop because they're known for this pork chop.
Oh, okay.
Super huge pork chop. I think it's about.
I bet it was tender. Oh my God.
Yeah, and it was about 6 inches thick, I think. Because I didn't think it would be good being that thick. And you know, pork chops that you get in the grocery store these days don't taste so good. But I was like,
right.
This is what they're. Or, yeah, the pork chop is one of their specialties, and I wanted to try it, and I enjoyed it.
Good. What was your side?
I can't remember.
Oh.
I
both love
eat.
Potatoes. I heard you mention potatoes. I love potatoes, too.
I do, too.
Probably a good potato. So when you in the mass seniors went to the nursery at, did you get the baklava? Is it baklava?
Yeah, that baklava, that was part of our combination meal. You know, I tell you, because I was talking about, I want the cheapest this and that and blah, blah, blah. And the waiter was saying,
now,
well,
how much is that? How much is that? Because I definitely want some of that. And Saltay told us that's zero calories. He posted that, that's zero calories, too.
No, baklava has calories because it's sweet.
Oh, well, he said it's zero calories. Because that's unbelievable that has zero calories. So he must have been joking.
He has been. And they served it with ice cream.
Because I said, I told him, I said, I eat the whole thing. It's zero calories.
It was so good. It was served warm because usually when you get baklava, it's served at room temperature because you can buy it like at bakeries or it online or whatever. But that was fresh made at the restaurant and it was warm.
Mm.
And we had with ice cream. And then they come out there with, you know, this hot ice that makes all smoke and stuff. It was like they had some kind of ritual when they served it.
Uh-huh.
We were just shocked because when the guy was saying,
you
know,
you shared some pictures of that. I think you shared a couple of pictures. Yeah.
I did.
And I know I love to watch it when he when it's on his YouTube channel. I love it. And when people post their food reviews, it's just amazing how they present it to people. So you like that?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I knew it was good. It looked like it was just so delicious. So he was joking about the zero calories. I guess he said I'm so crazy because I said zero calories. I ate that whole thing.
Yeah, I've never heard of baklava having zero calories. You've got that.
I'm like, I know that's not zero calories.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's part of it is the pastry. It's like a flaky dough.
Exactly. My weakness. I'm like Oprah, bread and pastries. Oh, my God. It's my weakness.
Mm-hmm.
And it just melts in your mouth. And the Salt Bay burger was delicious.
Yes, I really enjoyed it.
Well, any closing words? Because it's almost time for us to conclude.
No,
so I see you don't mind late night. Look, you don't mind late nights. Those early mornings get to you, cousin Linda.
Look, the only reason that I was able to do this is because there were two shows that I watched on Tuesday night. I watched The Family Business and All the King's Men, and I had to set the alarm clock in case I fell asleep on either one of them. Cause then I set it for 8 o'clock for the Family Business, and then for 10 o'clock for your podcast. And the show had gone off at it was on from 9 to 10. All the Queen's Men, rather.
So I figured you were gonna watch the beginning of the news, but you all's news come on at 9 o'clock, right?
It comes on at 10. Fox comes on at 9,
okay.
But I don't watch Fox News. But I generally don't watch the 10 o'clock news because it's all a repeat. Because they have news starting at 5 o'clock in the morning till 7, then again at 9, then from 4 to 5:30, then again at 6.
And
it's
then the repeat comes on here at 1 o'clock. 3:30 at 1 o'clock.
It's so repetitive. And I watch the national news on MSNBC. In addition to, I have watched ABC national news and then, you know, the talking heads folks on MSNBC. So it's just the same thing over and over and over and over and over. So if I miss the 10 o'clock news, it's no big deal.
And I need to miss it because it's I'm like you. I go to bed early too, so I took a nap earlier. And then I watched Steve Harvey. His court show is so crazy. Oh, my God. Judge Steve Harvey. And then I prepared for the podcast. But I did my best to energize myself. But I shouldn't watch the 10 o'clock news, nor the repeat. The repeat comes on at 12:31.
Mm-hmm.
It is a repeat news. And then it's not good news, and it's not good news.
Yeah, it's exactly the same thing. And I like international news because I watch the BBC a lot, and then I'll go on.
And I like to watch. I like PBS too. I like PBS news.
Yeah, I love PBS. And then I have to go online and read Deutsche Welle. That's the German news online, and the Jerusalem Post, which is for Israel.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was going to mention. I know you like Jerusalem news.
Mm-hmm. So I, get a lot of news online and stuff rather than just watching the local news because, like I said, it's on all day, every day, and every night. If it was something different, I'd be glued to it, but it's just the same thing. They act like nothing else is going on. And all three networks have the same news. It's like,
and we need to know what's going on. And we need to know what's going on in the world.
Yeah, I don't know. I think they still get news from the wire services, because back in the day you used to have Associated Press and United Press International, and they would give the news to the networks. But UPI went out of business, I think, and Reuters used to furnish some news. That's German. But I was reading recently that Reuters has gotten to the point where they have a little propaganda. They say they don't really tell the truth. And Al Jazeera, I used to watch Al Jazeera, and then they say that's biased news. So I have to do a lot of research and stuff if I really want to get at what's really going on in the world. Still there?
Yes, I'm listening.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Look, when I'm not interrupting and you wonder what's going on.
Yeah, you do interrupting. So I said, well, I don't know. Maybe she's gone off.
I was thinking. I was listening and I was thinking.
Oh, okay.
Wow. So no assignment tomorrow. So tomorrow we'll come on at, you prefer 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock?
Whatever is convenient for you, because I might, I never know when I'm going to get an assignment, because
right.
The school that I like to go to, they've had some available assignments and I was just too lazy to go. And if they have one tomorrow, I may get up and go. So just schedule it for whatever is convenient for you. Because I might
have Zoom meetings at 3 and 4. I have Zoom meetings at 3 and 4, Avon and No Labels.
Oh, okay.
On Wednesdays. So, yeah, so the school you like to go to. So, look, you straight up about what school you like. You have favorites.
Yeah, because it's close to where I live. The other one is way
over. Oh, right.
I
don't blame you.
Mm-hmm. I don't like driving
too much.
Because the traffic is bad. And, I've just gotten lazy, that's all. I like driving close to home.
But right, with that gas, take away your pain.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good, it's close. You like one in Farmers Branch, right? You like the school in Farmers Branch, don't you?
Yeah, that's the one. And they had assignments available yesterday and today, but like I said, I was just too lazy to go.
You need to get your rest.
Child, I have plenty of rest. I don't really need to get rest.
You just tell the truth. You were lazy to go.
I like to schedule assignments in advance, and these popped up at the last minute. But I like to know at least a day in advance before I take an assignment. I don't like to wake up and see, there's one available, and I'll get up and go.
And
I like to know.
It's good you make that point, because the podcast was most successful when I plan in advance. So you just confirmed that get back to planning in advance and sticking to the schedule. And and get our guests on. And get guests on to talk with us.
Yeah.
So when you know a few days ahead, it's best because you can have time to prepare.
Right. Well, has the show ended?
Well, we will end in a few. Anything else? Ah, you used to love to go to your class reunions. Have the class reunions resumed? Since COVID is, a lot of the COVID regulations have been, closed down.
We were planning one for last year in October. And I was on the planning committee for picking hotels and excursions and stuff. And they didn't get enough people to go because I really had really wanted to go to Savannah, Georgia. But I had had so many assignments until I just didn't have the energy and I lost the desire to go. So when I called the president of our class to tell her I wasn't going to make it, and she said that she thought that she had notified me that it was canceled because they didn't get enough participation. She said that they needed just 10 people to go, but they only had 9 people. And I said, well, I just feel so bad because I was all enthusiastic about it. And I had been calling, trying to make reservations and stuff. And then there were 2 other people who were working on the planning committee. And they worked very hard at finding things to do and places to stay. But and a lot of people had confirmed that they were going to go. But when I talked to Della, she said most people backed out and they couldn't get enough participation, so they're going to try to have something in Ridgeland next year. And I haven't received any information, so I said I might come to that because I don't plan to do anything in Jackson.
Right.
You know, with the crime situation and the water situation in Jackson, I just don't feel comfortable.
And it's a lot of other situations, right? Like, Lord.
Can y'all drink out the taps yet?
I do drink out the taps, but I don't think it's safe. I'm drinking bottled water. I have bottled water, but I do drink out of it sometimes, but I got sick one time drinking the tap water. One of my prayer partners, Prophet Anthony Friday, and his wife, you see, I post. And during the holidays, when I was, I became ill. Prophet Friday said, "Have you been drinking tap water?" You know, he's a prophet. I was like, "Yeah." He was like, "The tap water had me sick." I was sick as a dog, like I had a stomach virus. And a lot of people don't drink the tap water. They say it's safe. The third-party manager says it's safe. The